This? How did I get this? It's not good.
Excuse me.
Can I help you, sir?
Yeah, what the hell are these?
These are tortillas. Tortillas deliciosas.
Yeah, so what are these?
These are tortillas, which contain Echo Bright's tax records and other documents showing how your company has created invoices with fake charges.
How did you get these?
I'm sorry, but Chef never reveals his recipes.
Do you know how fucked you are? I'm gonna have this place closed by the morning, do you understand?
Oh, no, that won't be necessary. Enjoy.
Club members, I'm Kate, and I collect those weird little cat clocks. And Ariana's seen it. And I got another one, and I wanted to show you. Sorry, guys, I wish you could see it. Look how cute she is.
Oh, wow. Is that the wife of your other one?
Yes. So I thought they could be, like, I don't want to, like, be super, like, heteronormative, but they
look like... Yeah, I was going to say, I'm offended
boyfriend,
by
girlfriend.
This kid.
I know. I have a black one and a pink one, and, you know, they can be whatever gender they want, but she is just giving. She's got little jewels on her collar. So, yeah, this is rapidly spinning out of my control, and I just wanted to let the club be aware of this at this time.
It's the cat clocks with, like, the eyes that go back and forth and the tail that goes back and forth for all you people that are not me watching Kate show.
They know exactly what I'm talking about when I say cat clock. No one is thinking of anything other than those weird from like the cartoons that your parents watched. I don't know why. I'm addicted to them. I love them so much.
They do kind of summarize you as a person. I don't know how, but they do.
I don't know how either, but I need them.
I think it's just like because it's like weird and chaotic and creepy like you.
Darty eyed.
Nystagmus.
Grinning. Wearing a bow tie.
Telling time.
Enough about me. Ariana, you need to introduce yourself properly.
Right. I'm Ariana, and I'm just a holy fool, and baby, it's so cruel, but I'm still in love with Judas, baby.
What the fuck are you what are you talking about? She can't contain herself. She is like kicking her feet right now, and I have no idea what she just said.
I'll say it again for all you people
that
are listening.
Yeah, hit me again, but slowly.
I'm Ariana, and I'm just a holy fool, and baby, it's so cruel, but I'm still in love with Judas, baby.
I don't know what this is, but I'm so glad I have it recorded.
How do you not recognize that?
No.
Are you even a millennial?
I try really hard not to be, though.
I literally sent this music video to you like a week ago, Kate.
Wait, really? Guys, she sends me a lot of music videos, let's be honest.
The name of the song is in the lyric I just said.
Judas?
Yes.
Oh, is that Lady Gaga? It took me a while to get there. Your delivery was a little different than hers.
Listen, everyone on TikTok is learning the dance, and it's been stuck in my head for I shit you not a month. And Will's getting pissed. Because it's me constantly singing this song.
Judas. Rocking the full music video on the living room. I know you are.
It's an extremely annoying song in certain parts, but it's
coming back.
So great. Oh my God. Well, it came back for me. I don't really care about anyone else.
Okay. Yeah, well, I don't think it ever left for you, if I had to guess.
I did not like it when I first heard it. I was like, Lady Gaga was like too much. You know what I mean? Like back in the day.
How dare you? She wasn't ready.
But
guys.
Now I'm like, now that everyone is over Lady Gaga, I'm here for it.
We wanted to make sure it was real. And then we don't waste my time. I get it. Well, speaking of not liking things right away, Ariana, I've been very vocal, I feel, with how I feel about the menu.
Oh, shit. Wait.
I thought you'd picked up on it.
Wait, so you mean when I told you that we were doing the menu and you audibly groaned? That was negative?
Girl, I was trying to hold it back. I was like, no. Guys, I'm sorry. Like, this won the poll. I'm happy for whoever wanted it to win the poll. And it kept coming up. It kept almost winning. And I was like, please don't let this movie win because I don't want to talk about it. And then it wouldn't win. And I'd be safe for a little while longer. Then another second chance poll would come back up. And
we knew it was coming.
Yeah, I could only run from it for so long because, as I've mentioned, I saw this movie whenever it first came out, and I didn't remember a ton about it except for I really hated it.
Did you?
I remember, and so I'm going to tell you
surprise.
But here's the thing: I've been wrong before, so like, I don't know why I always use Corpse Bride as an example. It's just the one I can think of. There's other movies. But a movie that I've watched that someone has shown to me or something, and I'm just like not in the right headspace for it or the right mood for it. Just like my vibes aren't compatible with the movie's vibes. And I'll just like not like it. And then I'll try it forever later and I'll love it. It'll become one of my favorite movies. So I wanted to go into this movie being very open. And the only reason that I'm not being super stubborn like I normally am is because everyone fucking likes this movie.
Wait, is that true?
Yeah, girl, the Rotten Tomatoes for this movie.
Yeah,
have you seen it?
Yeah. 88 for critics, 76% for audience.
That's like really high to me. And then like you go to the reviews and all the things that I remember disliking about the movie, everyone's praising. So I feel like, I don't know, like some Berenstain Bear situation where like maybe I watched a different movie in a different timeline and I just like slipped back into this one and it's actually good and I was wrong. Like literally, like I wrote down on my little, I showed Ariana all my notes. I wrote down in my notes the things I remember being bored and I remember hating the acting, just being very disappointed.
Wait, so are you saying this time when you watched it, you liked it?
I'm not saying anything yet.
Okay. Because like the way you started this off, you were like, oh, like how I feel about Corpse Bride, which is like you didn't like it at first, but now you do.
Right. So I was trying to go in with that open mind. I was like, okay, if it happened for those movies, it could happen for this one.
I feel like you like this movie now.
Well, like,
weird.
It's like by all, I really should. Like, Ariana, like, I don't know. Looking at this movie, this seems like a Kate movie, right?
I don't know. I feel like it does. You're right. It does seem like something that both me and you would like for like overlapping reasons, you know, like it's very like metaphorical, but it's like very like dark comedy. And I know you like dark comedies.
Mm-hmm. And so I wasn't sure if you would like, I thought you probably would like it just because it's pretentious, but
that's what I meant by metaphorical.
Yeah, obviously. That's what she... So I was like, she's gonna like it. But also the cast is really good. Like I really like this cast.
Yeah.
Like Anya Taylor-Joy as Margot, like this fucking Bambi-eyed Argentinian queen. We love her.
Yeah.
And I watched her.
Do you really?
Split.
Because I feel like last time you didn't like her. Last time you were like, enough with this girl.
That's kind of how I feel now.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So I feel like
I'm obsessed with her face.
She was scouted as a model. You know what I mean? Like she's not a classically trained actress, which is fine. Lots of great actors, Brad Pitt, look at him go. But like, she was really good whenever I watched her in like Split, especially. I was just like, wow, this is like, she came out of nowhere and she didn't have the training and she's actually pretty good. And then every movie after that, they just want her to remain just plain Bambi face the whole time. And it's boring to me. Yeah, it's like a painting. I'm like, I've seen it before. I don't need to see it again.
Did you watch Queen's Gambit?
I've seen the Queen's Gambit. I liked the first two episodes, and then I got bored of her boring face doing nothing.
Oh my God, I couldn't literally stare at her face for the rest of my life.
She's stunning. She is one of the most beautiful people, but she's boring. She's boring to watch on screen. I'm so sorry to say it. I think it was The Witch. I felt like that.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I was prepared at this point. I was still on the, I like Anya Taylor-Joy train and I was excited about it. And then also like Ralph Fiennes, who is like, who doesn't love Voldemort? You know what I mean? Like, he's,
yeah, totally.
Who doesn't? He's one of my mom's boyfriends. Like Hollywood.
Shit. Really? Wait, was this before?
Not
after
in real life.
He
not
was...
in real life.
Wait. Wait,
you know how I
life?
Have, you know how I have several boyfriends that they don't know about.
Kate.
Thank you for making me admit that that's one sided. But well, my mother's boyfriend, she has two. One is Ralph Fiennes, and the other is Daniel Day-Lewis.
does she like him more or less now that she's seen him as Voldemort? Probably more.
I don't know. That scene where he does that awkward chuckle hug for Draco. I don't know. Maybe that turned her up. Maybe it gave her an ick. I'm not sure.
I mean, he is bald and he does have no nose. So.
Nose or no nose, Mom? That's what we want to know.
He's evil, but he's also really ugly.
Well, he's normally like super, he's like this hot, super talented, super trained actor. Like he's a big sure. deal. He's been in like every single Shakespearean play at the Royal National Theater. He's really accomplished, awards coming out of his butt. But to be honest, when I see him, I see Voldemort and I see Made in Manhattan. And that's not his fault. It's no one's fault.
We are millennials.
Yeah, there's nothing I can do about it. I see him. I'm like, where is J-Lo? She must be nearby.
J-Lo is always nearby. Let's be real.
Oh my God. Did you know that she like produced her own movie?
I'm obsessed with her. Stop.
Oh my God. It's Don't so make fun cringe. Of her. Oh my God. Stop. It's so easy to make fun of her. I'm not though. Anyway, so long Stop. Story short, entering with a positive outlook. Oh, and also the other actor, Nicholas Holt as Tyler
I
is
love
the guy.
Nicholas Holt.
I Hot love him.
As fuck.
Mm-hmm. No, not for me, but
what?
Not he's not for me, but he was in The Favorite and I really liked him in The Favorite.
Hell yeah,
he was
in
About a Boy,
favorite.
Obviously. What's that? The Great.
He's a Wince Prince. He's in what The movie? Great. He's actually really funny in The Great. I think he's a Wince Prince. He was in Renfield. Warm Bodies was the first place I saw him.
I don't think either of those count, do they?
Yeah, Warm Bodies is about like
he
zombies.
Was a zombie it's basically in Warm Bodies though.
Yeah, but then he like turned. It's spoilers for Warm Bodies.
For Warm Bodies, everyone. Spoilers for the zombie rom-com from 2013.
He turns into a man from a zombie.
Oh, does
Renfield
he really?
Also counts. How dare you? And he's in the new Nosferatu that's coming out in a few months. You're killing me.
I know. I guess you're right.
He's right, a freaking Wince Prince.
He can be a Wince Prince. That's fine. We like him. And I was excited to see him in this movie.
Yes. Yes. Okay, it's like he needs to be half his height
he's
in order
way
for me
too
to be
tall
into
for
it.
Me. Yeah.
Way too tall. Mm-hmm. Very average height. Kate's not mm-hmm. here for it.
Not my type. But I also about this movie, like Ariana, give like a little teaser so people kind of understand. Like
yes.
what's
Let's
the
do
menu?
A teaser. All
little
right.
tease.
I got you a teaser right here. Ready?
Hit me.
A rat who can cook makes an unusual alliance with a young kitchen worker at a famous Paris restaurant.
So now, as I'm going to be going through this movie, the question is it as good as Ratatouille? Is the plot
is
better or worse
better
than Ratatouille?
Or worse?
Only the scoreboard will tell.
Than Ratatouille.
That's what we're asking you at home, club members.
Better
gonna
or
have
worse.
To make you choose sides. The menu or Ratatouille?
Yeah, no. I do have a real teaser for you, though.
Oh, man.
Okay. Yeah. So a young couple travels to a remote island to eat an eat at. They don't eat. They don't
they
eat the
eat
restaurant.
The whole
to eat
fucking
at an
restaurant.
Exclusive restaurant.
It's Hansel and Gretel.
Where a, quote, fiery chef with a, quote, burning desire to, quote, eat the rich has prepared a, quote, rock solid menu that will leave you wanting, quote, s'more. I had a lot of caffeine when I...
Did you write that?
Bet your ass I did.
That's a fucking work of art. The s'more. The puns I wasn't expecting.
I couldn't.
Oh, the quotes of them all. Okay, send that to me. That's the blurb for this episode. That is so perfect.
That's the blurb.
That's it. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, there. Well, I can't help you. Like, that's the
yeah,
movie.
That summarizes it well, I think.
Do you have any love children?
Nothing like spring into my brain as like this reminds me of this other movie. It's like a very unique movie in that it was boring. No, I'm just kidding.
She's not kidding is the thing. She's not kidding.
I guess if I had to pick Love Children, I would say anything where there's like a final girl that's like fighting rich people, you know, like you're next or ready or not.
It gave a little bit of ready or not.
Yeah.
The platform. Or like
the platform, Snowpiercer, which I know Kate hasn't seen, but I talk about constantly.
I have seen it.
The American one.
I watched it because you told me to. Yeah, the American one.
Oh, shit. Okay. Snowpiercer.
Yeah, because we were talking about Bong Joon-woo when we were talking about Parasite. And I was like, okay, I'll watch it. Didn't like it. Sorry.
Oh, my God. Fuck.
Lord. Too much snow.
Parasite also. Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, it just, it's a pretty unique movie, I'll say. Like, it's a very divisive movie, to say the least, but...
What do you mean by that?
I don't know. I feel like a lot of people recommended this movie for us.
Yeah, a lot.
And we kept, like, fucking dodging that shit. And then all of a sudden, here we are. But no, so I have a list of people who recommended this movie. Most recently, I probably missed a few, but Tom Copolone.
Yeah, Tom.
Tati Develek, Trent Cuss, who's been listening to us for a while. Tom W. Tracy.
Hell
four
yeah.
people.
Only most people recently. With a name that starts with T are allowed to recommend this movie to us.
Oh my God, you're so right. They
all
start with T.
It's weird. It's weird. Your little T club.
That is weird.
That's a lot, though. That's a lot of different people recommending this movie.
Yeah, I just wonder if it's like divisive in that like people really like it or really don't like it. I don't know.
I'll say this. As I was going through the reviews, desperately trying to find someone who agreed with me. Like, that's how wild these reviews are.
Like, you didn't like it and everyone was like, this is great. And you're like, I hate this.
Everyone kept recommending it. And I was like, I remember absolutely hating this movie. Then I find the Rotten Tomatoes of it all and the hole goes deeper.
Yeah.
And so I'm having to understand. And so, and then I'm like, it's got to be me. Like, I know there's a lot of satire in this movie. Maybe I just missed the best parts of it. And so I'm digging through. But I do find as soon as I get like that splat on the review, I'm like, ooh, they didn't click. What do you have to say? And we're seeing a lot of bad, pretentious art critiquing bad, pretentious art, which I think is funny.
Which is meta as fuck.
Very, very meta. A lot of people were like, it starts off intriguing, but then it gets bogged down in something that feels spoofy.
Yeah.
A lot of people have like that the eat the rich allegories are like half baked. That's kind of a thread that you see is like, it's like they don't see it as anything deeper than exactly what it sounds like, which is a black comedy horror satire about wealth and class.
Yeah, I agree.
But also about chefs specifically.
It's so, oh my God, Kate, we're going to talk so much about this because I'm glad we're on the same page. I felt like we were going to be on the same page. I know you were looking for a review that agreed with you, and here I am.
You didn't like it either?
Legitimately, I can't even explain to you how much everything you just said is exactly how I feel about this. I was going to try to keep it close
to
the chest since you were very outward with your hatred of it in the beginning, but I'll just tell you right now, it's not my cup of tea either, by any means.
And I like it could have been. And like I see the merit that people see in this movie. Like I really do. And I just want to let you guys know, like if you love this movie, it's just
you're
not
dumb.
For
no,
me. If you love this movie, get out of the club. Trent,
get the fuck. Turn us off.
What is wrong with you?
Trent, maybe he was doing it to be a troll. Maybe he was like, they're really
no,
gonna hate this.
No, I know Trent likes this movie for a fact. I know he does. I just I can feel it. And that's fine. That's fine. Like the acting, for every one of me and Ariana, there's 8 billion people who agree with you. That's why I feel totally fine being vicious to this movie, because I have to admit, I didn't like it anymore the second time. kind of hated it more, if I'm going to be honest.
I watched it for the first time on a flight to, I think, London like a year ago. And I was maybe I hated it because I didn't give a fuck and I was tired and I was on an airplane.
Exactly.
And no, it's just bad. No.
I went in hydrated. I cleaned the room so I had nothing bothering me. And the movie still bothered me. I had a candle. I swear to God, I lit a candle. I did everything I could to make this movie
to
more
get
palatable.
In the mood.
Yes.
Amazing. Palatable.
And, yeah. And like from a distance, it really does look appealing. It looks good. But then the closer I get into it, the more issues I have with it. So,
yeah.
But listen, we love an eat the rich metaphor usually.
If it's even that.
If it's even that, right. So, but like,
it doesn't know what it is.
They're trying to do an Eat the Rich. Like, I feel like that's very much like the thing of the thing. That's the menu of it all. But
yeah.
I'm the first person to like make fun of rich people. And like, mostly it's in jest.
That's true.
Yeah. But also I mean it though. And it's not just because I'm jealous that I picked the job with the worst debt to income ratio for student debt. I'm not jealous. I just hate you.
It's fine.
It's fine. Like, I went bananas for that movie Triangle of Sadness. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh my God, you would love it. It's on Hulu, guys. For me, Triangle of Sadness was what the menu was trying to do.
Hmm. So it's like, okay. Maybe I'll watch it.
We should cover that. It's fantastic. But anyway, typically any satire that takes the piss out of like rich white people, I am front and center. Literally, whenever the Titanic submersible thing happened, my mother was horrified. I horrified her. I was like, good. And she's like,
good. Kill them all.
Like, eat the rich means eat the rich. Mom, yeah. I'm scared her to death. But I'm not even sure that this is an Eat the Rich movie.
I don't know if that is like fully fleshed out enough for me either, Kate.
Because then it turns into a chef cult movie that has nothing to do with the rich people. It's too much. There's too much happening. Like,
it's too much. None of it's fleshed out. We'll talk more about it because we'll I have a whole thing for you. But my biggest negative about this movie is this movie's about food and there's no corn.
Where's the corn?
Where's the fucking corn?
I know where the corn is. It's the whole movie because this movie is corny.
it's corny as fuck.
This movie is corny. And I wrote that down for my genre. It's corn horror because it's corny as fuck.
You're so right, though. You're so right.
Found the corn.
Corny as fuck. You're right. I'm glad we're on the same page, Kate. This makes it a lot easier.
I am too. Because like, I know you're there for like the up in your head stuff. We both like that guy from Broad City. We'll get to him. He's hilarious.
Oh my God. Yes. Yes.
It's weird watching him play someone straight, but it's okay.
Without an accent. Yeah.
Yeah. I was weird. Where'd Jaime go? I don't like Jaime. Why are you doing this?
Not only is he straight, but he's like aggressively straight and aggressively a douchebag.
Yes.
Just like the opposite of who he is on Broad City.
Guys, first of all, go watch Broad City. I don't care who you are. It's on Hulu. It's the best show ever. And there's a character named Jaime who is this very flamboyant Puerto Rican gentleman, little young man who like roller skates around and like sells weed and he's perfect. And then in this movie, he's like a straight trust fund bro. Like wears a buttoned up shirt. I'm like, ew.
Yeah.
Ew. Ew,
like,
David.
Do you know who I am? It's like, okay.
Jaime, no.
I'm glad he has range, though. Good for him.
Yeah. I was happy for him, though. I was like, this is a big movie. So like him. Also, guys, this movie made so much fucking money. Like, I can't even. Let me see. I don't even think I wrote it down because I was like,
I'm sure it did. I mean,
eyes.
It has a lot of star power. I'm sure it did.
It has mad star power. Oh, and that was another thing that came up in positive reviews. Everyone was talking about the chemistry between Anya Taylor-Joy and Ralph Fiennes. I think it's Ralph Fiennes. I think I'm saying his name wrong. I think it's Ralph
Who
Fiennes.
Who knows, man?
Who's to say? And so Anya Taylor-Joy and Voldemort, they say that they have like a lot of chemistry. And I'm sitting here like, where is the chemistry in the room with us? I don't feel it at all.
I felt like the chemistry was there for Anya Taylor-Joy and Nicholas Holt.
Yes. I think Nicholas Holt could have chemistry with a brick wall.
That's hot.
Yeah, that is hot, actually. I found it. All right. The budget. Holy shit, though. If you think about the budget, though, it's like embarrassing. Like, it made $80 million. Okay, that's nothing to snark at. It did.
Shit.
It did well. But it cost, like you said, the star power, $30 million to make this movie.
So it just doubled.
Yeah.
A little more than doubled.
I don't know. I'm more for the movies that no one's seen in theaters. I think that they tend to be better. But
yeah,
I'm just being a snob right now, but it's fine.
No, I don't think you're being a snob. I feel the same way, Kate. I'm here to support you.
Good.
We're here to hype each other up. And everyone's going to be listening like, you're fucking dumb. Or they won't be listening.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm so sorry
Whatever.
If we don't agree with you this time. All right, wait. I wanted to tell you about the director.
What? Tell me.
I'm just picking at this movie at this point because I had never, I had never heard of this guy, but he had a wiki page. So I'm like, all right, he's got to be someone. His name is Mark Mylod Millard. Okay. I'm going to say Mark Millard. And he hasn't directed many movies like at all. He was mostly TV and would do like, he was like a random director of this episode, that episode, that kind of thing. Although he did, he was the main director for Succession. So good for him.
Okay.
But then the movies that it's like The Menu and then Ali G. Like that Borat movie. Like, okay. Some Anna Faris, Chris Evans rom-com I've never heard of. It's called What's Your Number? Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Yeah. These are, I'm like, oh, so you're not a good director, maybe? Like, or you've just not had good success.
So you take star power and you don't do anything with it, is what I'm hearing.
That's exactly that's exactly what happened. That's what happened. I'm like, oh, I found it. And I'm not trying to point all the blame at Mark, because the writers have had most of the blame. This is...
No, I agree. I agree. Yeah. I don't think, honestly, I think the directing probably was pretty good with, for what they had, like the acting.
It was pretty good. And this, I thought the cinematography was cool.
Yep. I agree. I agree. But yeah, the story was dumb. I agree with you, Kate.
Should we tell him the story?
Do you have any club bulletins to talk about?
Oh, shit. I almost missed club bulletins. All right. Going back. Welcome back, club members. And I do have club bulletins. So if it's your first time, welcome. By listening to this episode, you are automatically a club member. We're very excited to have you here. Don't be intimidated by the fact that we're literally bullying some of our club members today. We're normally nice. And we do have some. I'm normally nice. We do have some. New patrons. We have some new club officers. Yes. Two club secretaries. We have Michael. He's from San Francisco. And Glittercore. Oh, wow. They're from Colorado.
Ooh, amazing.
So you guys better be taking notes on what we think about this movie as our secretary. I don't care if you're driving. Do you want to be a secretary or not? And I also have a fun fact from a club member that I thought I just had to, to share it.
Yeah.
So Ashley wrote in after The Fly. So there's a scene that we talked about where Brundle Fly or whatever, Jeff Goldblum, you know, he's shedding all his grossness and he has like a cabinet full of like his teeth and shit like that. I didn't know this until she told me, but he also has a jar that has his penis in it in that cabinet and it's visible on camera.
What?
And they just like snuck it in there.
What?
I'm sure the whole movie was PG. It was like, what, the 81? They were like, eh, it's good for you.
And Gina Davis is like, I still love him.
Daddy, I love him.
Daddy, I love him.
A dick in a jar? So yeah, I had to tell you guys about the dick jar because I know about it. And it's a moral responsibility to share that information.
Oh my God. How did we miss
that? Oh, and I have something
penis
sweet
jar
that I wanted to say. I didn't say it. I wanted to share it. We got some new reviews that I thought were really nice.
Oh, nice. Amazing.
So, amazing. So this one is actually from, both of these are from our club secretaries. They're already so good at their job. They're already taking notes for the club. Michael wrote, from horror skeptic to horror fan, I stumbled upon this podcast while searching for Rocky Horror Picture Show content. Yes, one of us.
There you go.
And what a discovery it was. I wasn't initially much of a horror movie fan, but the podcast transformed my view. Yay! Brainwashing.
Oh, wow.
Kate, Emma, and Ariana have a way of making each episode accessible to those of us who were once on the fence about the genre. Love that. That makes me really, really happy.
Nice.
Their passion is contagious, leading me to start, I'm so proud of him, watching the movies that they discuss on their scoreboard so I can listen to past episodes. He's like fully getting into horror. I'm like, yeah, the club is so proud. And he encourages for anyone looking to explore horror movies or seeking an entertaining companion in the genre, this podcast is a gem. Stay spoopy.
That's very nice. He's such a mama's boy for sure.
Yes. Good boy.
Rocky Horror. Yes.
Yeah. I know. Rocky Horror, a man after my own heart. And I love that he stayed and was like, oh, maybe I'll see if horrors. Because I feel like sometimes horror as a genre and horror fans, it can be like hard to break in.
Off-putting.
Like the way you feel about video games. Yes, sure. I'm bringing it up again.
Take a shot. Take a shot, everyone.
We were fighting before the episode about video games. It's fine. But Glittercore also wrote a sweet little review. They said, best horror movie podcast. The energy and humor is exceptionally entertaining and refreshing. Flawlessly edited. Lamar. Snaps for Lamar, our sexy editor. Did you write this, Lamar? Yeah, it says, and your editor is really hot.
You have a hot editor?
You have a hot editor.
A hot single editor?
I love it. She also calls us real, raw, and riveting, which I appreciate the raw comment because this we be messy sometimes. Yeah.
Amazing.
Love it. Oh, and also she added, it engorges all my tissues and mitochondrias with the kind of joy I never knew I needed. Thank you.
Oh my God.
We love
fully engorged.
She's fully engorged.
Fully engorged.
for the club.
Yes.
Well, I felt like we needed to just give a big club thank you before we continue to tear into the movie that they like. Sound good?
And then now we're back to making you hate us.
Love you guys. Mean it.
Yay.
Are we ready to meet cool girl Anya and pretentious booty Tyler? All right, cool.
Tell me all the things.
The menu. All right. So we have, like I said, cool girl Anya. What's her name? I need to call her name. Margo.
Margo. Yes. Margo / Aaron. But Margo.
Yeah, Mark. We're going to go with Margo for now. So cool girl Margo is waiting to board this like ship with her date, who is Tyler. And he is like the most pretentious booty you've ever met. But I love every second that he's on screen. He's great. And it's just a boat full of people who have like more money than God. And they get boated to a private island. And the maitre d' of this private restaurant on this island greets them. And then the boat leaves. I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah.
That would be a problem for me.
That would be really freaky. Yeah. Like, why did they not question that? Weird.
They sure did it. Because they're rich. Because, all right, the moral of this movie is billionaires are just rich babies who can't chew their food.
Let's just skip ahead. Billionaires
suck. Let's just skip it. Billionaires are bad. All right.
Oh, and each plate is $1,250 for one meal.
Go fuck yourself. You know what I mean?
And it's a 4-hour meal. And it's not even really a meal. It's more just like little tastes of things.
Sometimes it's literally the absence of food. And that was how much was it you said? It was
$1,250.
Great. Cool. Love it. I feel like I'm eating at Sleep No More or some shit. Like I don't quite... Mm-hmm. You're telling me these people, and they have regulars at this restaurant who are routinely shipped in for 4 hours and $50,000 or whatever. Okay.
Billionaires.
So billionaires with a B. So anyway, Hawthorne Islands, the maitre d' is going to give us a tour. It's self-sustaining. It has 12,000 acres in the middle of nowhere on this island. Isn't that cool, guys? We have a lush garden. We have cattle. We have ocean mushrooms, I think is what they were doing. I don't know. I'm not a...
Oh, shit. Really?
Mushroom person. I don't know. They were foraging for... Oh, scallops. I think it was scallops. And what is a scallop if not an ocean mushroom? Am I right?
They have either ocean mushrooms or scallops. Either one. They must have been foraging for scallops.
They were foraging for ocean mushrooms.
Oh, man. Okay.
I love it. Oh my God. You can tell I'm a very classy broad. I would fit in really well here. Oh my God. So the creepy ex machina tour guide continues. She like takes him to the dorms of all the chefs because you're like, this is an island. So you guys like, you live here? Like
live here
all the time. And they're like, not only do we live here, we live in this windowless shack full of cots.
Yeah. It's like a bunker.
It's a with literal bunker.
And lockers.
And they're like showing this to the guests and they're very proud of it. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
That sounds great. And they also continue, they explain that because there's some of the guests are like, you mean like all the time you live here? And they're like, we wake up at 6 a.m. and we go to bed at 2 a.m. And then we wake up at 6 a.m. And I don't know about you, but I've seen enough cult documentaries to be wondering where the boat is right now. Like, I wouldn't be chill about this at all.
No, me neither.
Call your dad. You're in a cult. But don't worry. They have a bunker, but they also breeze past what I would think would be the coolest part of the tour, but they don't want to show us, which is the chef's mini castle that he lives in, the head chef.
Yeah.
Voldemort gets a castle.
They're like, we're not even allowed in there.
We're not allowed in there. I'm like, okay, well then why did you show us your beds? That's weird.
Yeah, why?
Seems random, but okay. They've got, then we go inside the restaurant and it's just very underwhelming for me. I was expecting something gregarious, not gregarious, not this minimalist bullshit. I hate it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is like they wasted all their money on the star power in the movie. They didn't want to make a good setting.
So they just put four walls up and they called it a fucking day.
Mm-hmm.
But the island's really pretty. I guess you just take a camera to an actual pretty place and that's not too expensive. Got it. I'm understanding movies now.
Got it.
I will say the kitchen itself is pretty cool looking. It's like a low budget kitchen from The Platform. I keep comparing it to the kitchen in The Platform. I think that's why I'm so disappointed in it.
Wow. Yeah, you're right. I didn't even think about that.
Mm-hmm. Because The Platform does similar things to this movie, which is like very up close hand shots of what the people are making. Like every like caviar is like individually placed. Like anything that's plated even remotely wrong, it's like you're going to get scolded and like it goes in the trash. So like they're going for that vibe, but it looks to me exactly like the kitchen from like Cutthroat Kitchen and like... It's just like overly lit or something. I don't quite know what it is. I also think it's like the fact that you can see all of it from the dining area. Like there's not a wall.
It's Waffle House. No,
that's what it is. It's giving Waffle House.
It's giving Waffle House.
And it shouldn't be at these prices. No one's saying anything about Waffle House.
No shade to
right?
Waffle House. We love Waffle House.
No shade. We love their chili, but I'm not paying $15,000 a pot to watch them make it. We do get a little cult moment, which is really fun, where they're like, we get a little yes chef moment, which is, you know, we're like, oh, okay, they're gonna be like this weird like cooking cult.
Military. Yeah, it's very
this
weird
military smileless cooking cult. So we've been introduced to everything now. Margot, we also get this great opportunity where Margot awkwardly learns that she was second choice for this.
Mm-hmm.
Which is handled really smoothly by the maitre d'. She doesn't make a big deal about it at all.
Yes, she does.
Bring it up eight times. I forgot what the other girl's name.
Miss Westerfield or something.
Yes. Yeah.
And she's like, oh, no. And then she's like, oh, what happened? And he's like, oh, she broke up with me. And then Margot's like really cool about it. And we're all like, okay, that's weird.
Like she's, but then the maitre d' is like, you mean... So this will be instead of your girlfriend?
So wait, your girlfriend is not coming.
So
then.
That's not your girlfriend that's here. That's someone else. And she's going to be sitting where your girlfriend was going to sit. I'm dead ass. That's like what, that's pretty much the script.
Yes. It's like straight from the script.
It's like, we get it. It's like, okay, move on. Then we get the kitchen. And this is where Tyler really gets to shine. Because Tyler is a foodie.
Yeah.
But he's also the kind of guy who, so he's very excited about this night. He like knows what creme fraiche is. I don't know. I don't speak kitchen. He like goes up to one of the chefs who's preparing the meal and is like, yo, is that a Paco jet?
It's like, did you use a Paco jet for that?
And the cook's like, I have one.
Yeah. Yeah. Have a seat.
Gold star, Master Tyler. Gold star. So weird. And then we get a quick speech from the maitre d', because tonight is a very special night. The menu is a very special menu. You can't take any photos, and essentially, like, don't fuck this up for us, is what she says. Am I wrong? I'm paraphrasing a bit.
That's exactly what she said, word for word.
Yeah, they need to grow some Lexapro on this island, is all I'm saying. They need some Xanax trees.
Get some Xannies.
You just throw some Xannies in whatever you're stirring up. Then we get the chef reveal. Oh my God, it's Voldemort. He's here.
Voldemort, I love your work.
Voldemort, I love your work. And he just kind of comes in and stands there because he's Ralph Fiennes and that's what he's allowed to do. He doesn't say anything. It's the most entrance I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. His hands are perfectly folded.
It's giving Varys. We don't like it. Then we get the amuse-bouche. So now we're starting to get to, this is where you really get to meet the other people who are at this restaurant with them, because it's like 20 people less, fewer.
Feels like less, but yeah, maybe like 20.
Yeah, it feels like five people. It's fine, though. We start getting these eavesdroppy introductory conversations. Some of them are kind of fun. Tyler's geeking the fuck out about his like rock foam or whatever they've been served.
It's literally like a sea rock with like 2-inch sea kelp placed on the rock and like a single scallop/sea
ocean
mushroom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ocean mushroom.
As we call them down in the SIP, down in the SIP.
That's what we call them. And it's literally like one bite of food, single bite of food. And he is having a full orgasm.
It's so embarrassing. And Margo's like kind of trying to lean in at this point. She's like, okay, yeah, sure. All right, I could see that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then we get the first course. The first course is called The Island. I think that's the first eye roll of the night. Eye roll count. I'm going to start it. I just rolled my eyes. Now we have Chef Boldy. He gets to give like a very creepy greeting. But he is serious as fuck. He's like, do not eat. I don't know the whole speech, but he gives this very pretentious, do not eat, like feel, experience, whatever.
Blah, blah, blah.
Nature is timeless.
Let's check in with you guys. Are you bored? Because we are. Is anyone else bored?
It's like it's monologue after monologue, but I can't figure out what the point of any of the monologues are.
But it's almost like we all know the point of the monologue, but we also don't know the point of the monologue. You know what I mean? Like it's like very heavy-handed, but also like not thought out. And it's really
frustrating. That's exactly what it is. Heavy-handed. Like anything can be heavy-handed. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean that I'm going to have heavy emotions from it. I'm just having heavy boredom.
Right.
Oh my God. Well, Tyler's moved to tears. Like literally he's crying at the do not eat speech. I think he made a noise or something. And the chef like school marm scold stared at him.
School marm.
Right? Like.
Yeah. And Margo's like, are you fucking crying? Shit.
Are you crying? So he's crying at the speech. And then he's also crying because he's worried that he angered Chef.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. At this point, Margo's like, okay, I think I'm leaning back out, actually. I think I don't want to lean in.
She's like, never mind.
Yeah. This is the course where we get to meet all the other ones, all the other people. We have, I don't know their names. We have Rich Eyeglasses Couple. That's what they are.
Old, rich, white people.
The rich, pretentious eyeglasses people. And they are, it's so funny because it's like this, the dish is very unique because it's called The Island. It's everything from that island. It's not a dish you can get anywhere else. And these eyeglass people are still managing to pick out and carefully describe like all the flaws of the dish.
Oh my God.
Like not even like, I don't really like this, but oh, this isn't correct. And they did. And how could you possibly, you've never had this before.
Insane. Wait, are we talking about the food critic or just like the rich white people?
The food critic.
Oh, okay.
They're all rich white people. This,
you're right. There's a food critic and she's there with like her kiss ass
editor. Her assistant. Yeah, editor. That's
it. Yeah. And he's like literally up her butt the entire time.
You see nothing but his feet the whole movie. He's just shoved up there. We can only dream. We also get to meet this egotistic, like, un-celebrity, like a celebrity that's, like, fallen out of favor, I guess. And his agent, his perpetually disappointed agent / mistress.
Yeah.
It's starting to feel like a game of Clue. I love it.
Weird. She's like, by the way, I quit. I got this other job. It's so much better than this job. And he's like, no. And she's like, yes. And that's like their first conversation.
It's great. I'm like, this is the time and place. You know what I mean? This is when I'd have that conversation at the most expensive dinner of my life. And the celebrity is just, he's not really entertaining to me. He's not really funny. He's not really likable. He's not really unlikable. To me, he feels like Russell Brand, but like not charismatic.
But like less interesting.
But not fun. Like don't get the wrong idea. Like he's not fun.
Oh my God, none of these characters are interesting. Sorry.
They're just not fun. Like no one's being fun. Like even like that, like I'm the mistress being, I'm taking another job. no, you're not, is boring and like played very flat with no one even raising an eyebrow. And I don't think it's an intentional decision because later they're overacting. So I don't know. That's just me though. Sorry, guys. Really, I'm sorry about this one. You asked for it. Then we have these spoiled, clueless trust fund bros. They're like kind of the comedy. They're kind of like the joke of the movie-ish, I would say.
Sort of.
But it's only one joke. Yeah, there's just one joke, which is we're like fratty bros and we don't know how the world works.
Yeah, they're like, do you know who we are? They're like, I don't know. I guess they work for the company that owns this restaurant. So they're like, do you know who we are?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we don't give a fuck.
They're like someone's son. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Who else is here? Oh, yeah. That sad old couple. They're not that old. They're like 50s, right? Like late 50s.
No, they're like in their 60s.
Oh, okay. Well, then they're old. I could say they're old at that point.
They're senior citizens.
No, I don't. Are they senior citizens?
I think so.
The wife looks great.
The wife is shaking her head as she's sitting there. You know how old people have like that head tremor? She's old enough to have a head tremor.
She did have a bit of a trim. You're right. I think she is old. Well, they're having like the most uneventful.
Boring.
It just gets more and more boring. They're doing nothing as well. It's great.
Yeah.
Now it's time for the third course. The third course is no bread. That's what you were serving. Because they give a little speech ahead of time because it's mandatory that you have a speech every 5 minutes of this one hour and 47 minute movie. And so we get a speech how bread is for poor people and you can't have it because you're not poor.
Sure. Someone okay.
Explain that to me. All right. So the food critic still finds something to complain about, which is pretty delightful. I'm not going to lie.
The emulsion separating.
I don't even know what an emulsion is. Like, I do, but I don't.
Like, I don't know.
I know what the concept of an emulsion is, like, in terms of, like, something being stirred together. Yeah, yeah. But, like, like what is it for? Like, what do you do with it? What does it taste like? You emulse something in it?
You're supposed to dip bread in it, I think.
We call that dip where I'm from.
That's spice and mustard where I'm from.
That's spice and mustard, y'all. Next to the ocean mushrooms. Well, we have the broken emulsion scene, which is we'll get there. But Tyler's like fully being an idiot. I'm just going to say he seems like he's an idiot, but he's the only guest in this entire room who's actually appreciating the menu.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like too much, like way too much.
Yeah, he's like very obsessed, kiss ass, like.
Yeah, like everyone's kind of peeved that, what do you mean there's no bread and you're serving us a plate with emulsions on it or whatever. okay. But he's like, oh, I get it. Like this makes sense. Cause like Margot's getting kind of like fussy. She's like, this guy's being like a dick. Like she thinks it's pretentious at this point. And that's whenever Tyler reveals, he says, the game is trying to guess the theme of the meal and you won't find out until the end.
That sounds so fun. I'm so entertained.
Oh my God. Oh, okay. So I'm going to be bored until the very end.
I'm definitely not bored anymore.
Cool.
Oh, wait.
You got me back there. And then he calls him a storyteller. I'm like, I don't really think he is. Also, I'm just going to say this now. This is a very unique evening that goes down, right? So if you're telling me that you know this chef and all, like, does he do this every time? He can't possibly.
How?
He can't possibly do this every time, can he? Unless there's a supernatural element to this story, if only. Honestly, if only.
He's basically Freddy Krueger. He comes back every time.
Yeah, again, it's
does
haunted
it again.
Freddy Krueger, Shutter Island cult. That's the movie there. Meanwhile, the maitre d's pissed because she has to be. She delivers, it's embarrassing, she delivers an entire vat of broken emulsion. Compliments of the chef. It's cringe for the chef, right? Like, if the whole point is, like, chef overhears that this critic is talking shit about his emulsion and he throws, like, a little temper tantrum about it, but the whole point of the movie is supposed to be that these are, like, rich, pampered babies. I'm like,
why are you giving them more than
that? Yeah, I'm like,
maybe give her some bread.
But you're being a baby right now, actually. The food critic criticized you?
Meh.
I just think Chef is a giant bitch. That's all I'm going to say.
Same.
Excellent. Which is a shame because I really like Voldemort. And now we have the trust fund babies. They want bread.
Do you know who I am? Give me bread.
Give me bread or I'm going to tell daddy. So we get the, do you know who we are? And this is whenever the maitre d' leans in.
Oh, and, yeah.
Because she has to talk in code. She says that tonight you will eat less than you desire and more than you deserve.
I hate everything.
It's trying way too hard and in the wrong places.
I hate it so much. I hate it so much.
It's like you came up with that line first. You were really proud of it. And then you shoved it in somewhere. That's exactly what fucking happened.
None of it is interesting. I'm so bored.
Still nothing has happened. We don't even have bread.
Zero things have happened. They have eaten two bites of food.
It's been great. Everyone's and Anya Taylor-Joy is still making that face.
That's the only thing that's interesting.
Nothing interesting. Her face doesn't move the whole movie. Yes. Her dress looks really nice, though. I will say she looks great. The dress is beautiful.
Hold on. Hold on.
What?
You like the dress? You like her outfit?
Wait. Yeah, it's like that purple silk thing, right?
Her dress is horrible. It's like a lavender.
Hold on. I'm pulling it up.
Silk slip dress with like this really awkward purple triangle of lace that like comes to a
point. It's something that only I couldn't wear this dress.
Horrible. She's also wearing combat boots with it. Are we aware of this?
Is she really? Why are they always wearing, because she's a cool girl. Oh my God, that's so annoying.
She's wearing combat boots and a lavender slip dress with like the most awkward piece of lace.
The dress is ugly. She's just pretty. Yep. I'm looking at it. It looks like a nightgown. Yeah. See, this is why I can't online shop. It's because
these models are gorgeous.
I'm going to look
I'll
like
take
that.
Take one of everything.
Then I put it on my Oompa Loompa ass and I'm like, oh, it's not draping off of my willow figure. Oh, that's a shame. It's funny how that didn't work out the way I wanted it to. And that's why I go to Plato's Closet. The end of story.
The end.
The end. I'm like, I don't know how this looks on anyone. And that's great.
I don't care.
That's excellent. All right. Oh, also Tyler's broken a glass because can't stop embarrassing himself and everyone. Yeah, he's a fucking spaz. Margot, I think it's like, she's like, I hate this scene. Okay, so the chef, like, do you want to explain the scene?
I just love how frustrated Kate is that she has to relive this movie. It's so fucking fun.
So it's like, this is like the lodge. It's like, I already had to watch this once. I really didn't enjoy it then. Then I had to watch it again. And I love you guys. I would do it for you. I really would.
We had to get it out of the way. We had to get it over with.
But now I have to do it again. I'm having to read it again. And it's so slow. Look at all the notes.
It's so slow. It's so slow.
It's like 8 pages.
Are you talking about the scene in the bathroom?
What scene? Oh, no. I'm talking about whenever Chef tries to... Okay, so we broke the glass. Chef comes up to the table to school mom, stare at him some more. But he's... enamored, enthralled by Anya Taylor-Joy just standing there. And he's like, why won't you eat? And she's being like a little bit of a bitch about it. And she's like, well, you told us not to eat.
Yeah, she's serving cunt for sure.
She thinks she is. She thinks she is. He's like, you know, that's not what I meant. And like, I'm reading that on a paper. I'm like, that's a hilarious interaction. But they don't do it funny. Like, Ralph and like everyone's playing it really straight. And that's where I'm like, it doesn't feel like a comedy ever to me.
Oh, there's like 3 lines that I think are funny and that's it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's it. Like everything else I'm like,
there's like one bit. It's not a comedy. Yeah. And it could have been. No. I think the writing here, it could have been funny and they could have made Margot and Chef, who are going to get like a very interesting relationship going. And by interesting, I mean inappropriate and weird.
You think it's inappropriate?
I think it's gross.
You think he likes her sexually?
Yes. He's leering at her the whole movie.
Wait, really?
Oh my God. You think everyone is trying to have sex with everyone in every other movie. Killing of a Sacred Deer, you try to argue that they were having sex with each other. the dad and the son or whatever. In this one, where he's like literally like...
I missed it.
Hanging on her chair up like, why won't you eat my precious?
Whoa, I totally missed that.
All right, so Chef is being creepy to Margot. Margot's trying to be sassy back. And like, I am proud of Margot because she's like, I'm not hungry or like, I don't want it. There's no food. Like, she's being a bitch. And like proud of her for not like being up his ass like Tyler is, but it kind of feels like she isn't paying attention. Cause like if I was in her shoes, I'd be like, something fucky is going on here. This feels sinister, and not just be like pouting that I didn't get food that I wanted. You know what I mean?
Just because they took the boat away, or like what would have been sinister up to that point?
The maitre d' just like verbally assaulted a customer.
Oh yeah, but he didn't say that out loud, so she doesn't know that.
I mean, there was like a big scene with the frat bros, and then the maitre d' like kind of whispered creepily in the guy's ear, and they all like slunk back to their chair. I don't know. Maybe I'm just an empath, but I'd want to go. I'd be done. Also, they just kind of like the bread speech is very like threatening. It's a threatening speech.
About yeah, it is. How, You're right.
And about how like rich people are the bane of the world, essentially.
Yeah. I guess you're right.
I feel like it's going all over her head.
Yeah. Like there's things I want to talk about, but I don't want to give away anything yet. So okay, I'll stop.
We'll go to the third course then.
Okay.
The third course, I am not shitting you, is memory.
I hate it. Make it stop.
Memory. So this is a wine. I wanted to read the wine label, but I couldn't find it. But when they're describing it, the last two, it's like notes of loathing and despair.
And regret.
And regret. Yeah. Which is pretty much what I hear every time I go to a wine tasting. It's got a nice oaky afterbirth.
I think anytime I smell rum, I smell regret.
Yeah, no, that's peppermint notes schnapps, of, actually. Is there schnapps in this?
Malibu. Malibu rum smells like regret to me. Deep
oh,
regret.
Shit, there's Taka in this wine? Amazing. I'm dying. All right, anyways, so everyone's getting wine for the third course, which to me just feels weird by itself that we're just stopping to have, I guess, a digestive. Is that a thing? I think that's usually like at the end of the meal or at the beginning of the meal. And they don't call it a digestive.
Wait. I thought that this memory one was the
oh, you're
one
right.
With
yes. Oh my God, you're totally right.
Scissors.
I literally forgot because all of these courses blend together.
Because we
so
don't
you're
care.
Right. The wine was completely unrelated.
Was just like they give wine with every single course because it's like they have a sommelier there doing that.
You'd be drunk as shit, right?
Yeah, but you're supposed to just like taste the wine with the meal, and then I guess
what meal? They've gotten foam and emulsion and three glasses of wine, you're telling me?
Sign me the fuck up.
Yeah, dope, dude. Great, we love it. Can't wait to drunkenly get on that boat to go home. Now, this is the turning point of the movie. You're right, memory. So the memory is the chef's memory. Does it smell like a monologue? It should.
Here it comes.
He gives a very long monologue. Oh, we haven't mentioned. The chef's mother is here.
Also, why? She could literally not be there.
I don't understand.
She could literally not be there.
The whole movie, she doesn't need to be there. I forget she's there because she doesn't have a single line or important thing to say or do. For some reason, the chef's mom is physically present and she's just like a caricature of like an old alcoholic. Like she's just like half asleep with like a wine glass in her hand. You know, it's a bit much.
Sitting at the table by herself, not talking to anyone.
Yeah, like it feels like she's in a play. Like she doesn't know that she's in a movie. It feels like she's in a play. And he's like going back into a memory that he had. And the actor's supposed to represent that. But that's not what's happening. It'd be cool. It'd be better.
You're right. It does feel very play-like. You're right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And that would be
like a little flashback
cool.
scene.
Yes. Or just like he leans over and like the mother's there. And then he like the scene turns and like. The camera turns and she's not there. And it's like supposed to be like, guys, this is how easy it is to write this shit. It's really not hard to write better things.
We
than this.
Would do better. No.
Right now, Ratatouille is winning. And that movie's about a talking rat. God.
Oh, no. Everyone's going to hate us.
All right. Taco Tuesday speech. This is the memory, the story about... I didn't write it all down
because
it all comes at you so fast. But I think it's like, he lived with, this is my alcoholic mother, and I also had an alcoholic stepfather, and he would beat us. And one day, my mother stabbed him in the leg with a pair of...
It was Taco Tuesday.
Oh, that's right. Of course, it was Taco Tuesday. remember that, guys? And you get like a little chuckle. He's like, I'll never forget that Taco Tuesday because my mother stabbed him in the leg with a pair of scissors. That's the speech. Am I wrong?
No. It was the dad tried to kill the mom with a telephone cord. And to stop him, he had to his stepdad or dad or whatever in the thigh with the scissors.
I've blocked out the weird description of him as a child watching his mother turn purple with a phone cord around her.
Yeah.
Because I forgot. Because this is supposed to be about Taco Tuesday. Well, it is. And so guess what we're serving? Drama. We're serving drama. So we're now handing
out... There's a chicken thigh.
Wait. Is it the chicken thigh yet? Or is it the...
Yeah. This is the chicken with scissors. Yeah.
But when does the tortilla come out? Is it...
It's with this
okay,
meal.
So first the tortillas come out, right?
No. They come out at the same time. They give them...
Oh, that's right.
It's the same thing because it's like a taco.
Correct.
They give them tortillas.
Yes.
And then they give them like a little plate with just like a chicken thigh on it with like golden scissors in the thigh.
I forgot that the threat came so far before the action.
Yes.
So I was thinking, I was writing it better in my head where they have the tortillas first and then the speech and the threats make sense. But that's not what happens. Because we have this huge, weird speech and then they're like, tortillas, everybody. And everyone gets a tortilla. And I just want, like, all the tortillas are printed with like very personalized threats, like the trust fund. It's so bad.
All right, so
like, not only is it kind of just like silly, it's corny, but also I wouldn't have caught it if that had happened to me, because these toasty tortillas don't really look like anything.
Yeah, toasty tortillas don't look like anything.
They don't look like anything. I would have just eaten it and ruined the maitre d's night. But I do. I would have just eaten. Yeah, it just looks like a well toasted tortilla. And they're like, no, that's honey. Is this you, the prostitute? I swear to God, that's one of the tortillas.
And guess who the prostitute is?
Because you can tell. You can tell from the tortilla.
You fully cannot tell on this tortilla.
No, it looks like whenever like someone like it gets on the news because their grilled cheese sandwich looks like the Virgin Mary. It's like
that's exactly what it is. Yeah, it's like maybe if I squint,
it could be a person's face. But this one, they're like, no, this is someone in the room that you're going to recognize because you've seen her face once. And we grilled it on this tortilla. And that's Margot over there.
Gasp.
We'll get to Margot soon. I do like this scene where... The frat boys are like, I don't like the scene, but I like the line. The frat boys are getting all up in arms and pissed off because that's how they react. And they're like, what is this? What are these? And then Maitre D leans down and goes,
tortillas.
They're tortillas. And she says that like three times.
That's the quote I'm going to use at the beginning of this episode.
They're tortillas.
People just heard it.
They're tortillas. I love her. This is the moment
that's
I'm like,
the funny,
team her.
That's one of the few lines that are actually funny. Yeah.
That and like there's no humor like that in the rest of the movie. That's the only kind of like black humor that you really get. The other ones are kind of like gags and jokes.
Mm-hmm.
But that
mm-hmm.
was genuinely funny. So they get a whole ass point for the maitre d'. These are tortillas.
Tortillas.
It's so funny. I don't know if this was just me, but whenever everyone's looking at their personalized like threat tortilla, I'm just and this is probably just me. But my dumb ass was waiting on someone to like swallow it, like receipt, like evidence.
Like eat it really quick.
Yeah. Like get rid of the evidence.
True. Like what?
I'm sure they have more evidence than that.
Who asked for this? Here's a sketch. Show me the person in the horror movie community that asked for a horror movie with an evil chef who prints blackmail on tortillas. Show me that person.
Just for the drama of it. Not even for, like, it has nothing to do with the
for
end
any
of
other
this
reason.
Movie. No, it does not affect the end of the movie.
You're right. That's a good
it's
point.
Just like, the what's drama.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. All right. And I get that it's like, oh, he's telling a story. I'm like, he isn't really, though. Like, this isn't really, this is just like a bunch of things and stuff we're finding out, but none of it's
horrible.
Really tied to anything. It's okay. I'm gonna keep going because we need to. Tyler's being a dick. he's being like an icky, obsessed fan. Like, he sees the tortilla. He's like, oh my God, brilliant, amazing. Speaking of obsessed, Chef is leering at Margot as per usual.
Whoa, I totally missed this sexual chemistry. I missed it.
What
totally.
Did you think was going on?
I thought he was just like wanting everything to be perfect for his night that he planned. And he was just like so obsessed with the fact that she was like not who she was supposed to be.
Right.
And that's why he was like obsessed with her. I did not get anything sexual at all. That totally went over my head if that was intentional.
It is so creepy and flirtatious, and I hate
it. Wow.
I hate it. So
I might have liked it better if I had known that.
Yeah, I know you would have, which is why I'm like, normally that's like a process of exclusion. You're like, are they fucking? Okay, no, they're not. All right.
You just assume it. Everything's.
Yeah.
Everyone's
exactly.
fucking until proven otherwise.
You should have seen her when we were watching Ratatouille. It was weird. So speaking of Chef, Chef grabs Margot and like gives her a genuine warning and is like, you literally weren't supposed to be here. Like, this was supposed to be somebody else. You need to. Does he tell her the full story at that point? But he's just like, you shouldn't be here. And kind of throws.
This
like
is
a,
in the bathroom, right? This is in the bathroom.
Yeah.
So she like goes to the bathroom to smoke because she's a cool girl.
She's and cool.
She's from a trailer park in Nebraska.
God, it's like, could it be more heavy handed? No one with teeth like that came from a trailer park in
Ain't
Nebraska.
Nobody. Ain't nobody.
Ain't nobody with teeth that good. In that profession, okay?
Yes, that's very
from
true.
From Nebraska.
So basically, he is like, you are not who you are meant to be. What's your name? And she, like, won't tell him. And he's like, no, what's your name? Like, he knows she's potentially not who she says she is. But to answer your question, Kate, no. Nothing happens in this scene other than that. They don't ever fucking say what her real name is, what her real profession is. They don't fucking talk about it yet. So it's just like,
okay,
a stupid bathroom scene for no reason. Cool. Okay.
And I thought the point of the bathroom scene was to get them really close together so you feel like they're having some like tension and like steaminess, which played really gross to me.
Wait. Oh my God. I'm going to rewatch it. I missed
no,
all of
you're
that.
Not.
I'm going to rewatch that scene.
Okay. Go rewatch that scene.
I would have liked it more.
You'll have to fast forward because we're at like minute 50 still.
Ugh.
But it's time for the next course, guys. It's time for the mess.
Finally, something horror related happens.
Thank God. Some good fucking food. Thank you.
Finally.
So this is where we find out, oh, this is like a full ass chef cult. And
is a chef cult a thing? Is that what you keep saying?
Yeah. So like I've been watching
it's like a repeatable thing.
The Bear.
Oh, I watched that.
I watched some of it. I got a little bored with it. But maybe I just don't have the patience for kitchen things. I don't know. But
I don't either.
I don't know how to cook. But the chef, the community with chefs is very like dog eat dog, like very, very highly competitive. Like there's a lot of people who want to do it and there aren't that many good jobs. So it's a lot of like kicking ass and like or taking shit from people and like that and like normalizing that, like a lot of hazing.
Feels like that's in every single fucking profession though. Am I wrong?
Well, these guys think they're special. This is like we're a special little chef cult. We love sleeping on a cot with no windows. Like we're in fucking Midsommar. We love it. And Jeremy is going to be the mess. So Jeremy's just one of the chefs. His name just is Jeremy. It's time for some dinner theater. So they like bring out a tarp. There's a monologue. It doesn't matter what it's about.
If you're in a restaurant and they're bringing out a tarp, stop and ask yourself.
Am I safe?
Am I safe on this island without an escape route?
Are we about to, everyone's down for some slip and slide? What are we? Jeremy's ready to slip and slide.
Well, oh, yes,
Jeremy
he
gets
is.
In front of the tarp. It's very obvious, I feel like, what's going to happen. And blows his brains out in front of everybody. It's great.
Sure.
There's some denial, you know, about what just happened. A lot of people are like, oh, it's squibs. Oh, it's part of the show. Tyler is absolutely grooving. He's like, amazing. This is delicious. Because then they serve Tyler. They pull his body back and they like chop him up, which I get their chefs, but cutting bone?
Wait, hold up. Wait.
Yeah. You
take
missed
a step
that?
Back. Say that again. Say it again. Wait, who are they?
Oh, not
they
Tyler.
Serve Jeremy?
Jeremy. Oh my God. Jeremy, not Tyler.
Hold up. Wait.
Yeah.
they served the cook, Jeremy?
Yeah.
Bro, I totally missed that.
Did I make that up? Did I write something good into the movie?
You know
movie?
What's so weird see. Is like, I, Will said something about, is this the movie where they like feed people to people? And I was like, no. Is that a thing in this movie?
That's not really what it's about, though.
I legitimately didn't realize that they were... I thought he was just killing himself.
They do not eat Jeremy. I just looked it up. I am so disappointed. I'm really disappointed.
The one thing...
My headcanon was that they dragged him back. Because what they serve is like a like meat with a bone.
Right before he shoots himself, basically the head chef, whatever, Voldemort, is like, you wanted to be me. You wanted to have my talent, but you're not as good as me.
Oh, my God.
And then he shoots himself in the head and then they serve what he had created.
Oh, man. I thought that they served him and I was so excited.
Oh, my God.
That would be better.
I don't think you're the only one who thought something like that, because like, when I was doing research for this, like, I feel like it kept coming up that like he was some sort of like cannibal or he was serving people or something. And I was like, what? Where are people getting this from?
I thought there was like an allegory there where it's like service workers. I mean, there's a lot of overt.
That would have worked. Yeah.
Right. That would have worked for service workers. Just like, it's never enough.
Giving
everything they can. And then just being like, take it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that have been better?
No, see, the only interesting thing you liked about this is...
I made up in my head. Didn't even happen.
Didn't even happen. It's even more boring than you thought.
It sucks. Okay, like in my head, like as I was watching this, I was like, this would either be a really good short film, like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or story, and then there were a nun type story. That could be very good, but they didn't decide on a plot and you need that for a story. So
step
anyway.
One.
Ooh, burn. So at this point, the sad old couple tries to leave. And if you do that, you're going to get your finger chopped off. So he gets his finger chopped off. Tyler's still chewing, lol, this whole time. Someone's just blown their brains out. Someone else was tried to leave and got his finger chopped off. And he's like, ooh, this is good. Yum.
Wait, guys, it's his ring finger because he was not faithful because... We give a shit. Just kidding. We really don't. We don't need that. We don't care about any of that. We don't need the metaphor. We don't care.
No, they're doing way too. They're trying to do way too much.
Yep.
It doesn't. I don't care that he cheats on his wife. Let's dive. Let's make a story that makes more sense for the chef's narrative. And if you want to involve Margot in that,
sure,
by all means. But I don't give a shit if. Who's having an affair with who? I assume are, right? Like, they're all billionaires. They're all doing this.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, I'm like, no one's shocked by this at all. All right. Ugh. So what's worse is the pretentious, like, food critic couple. Like, they think that this is all, like, an elaborative dinner theater that's specifically for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, he did text me.
I think it's all for me.
Of course. And so now we get, Chef is like, all right, Margot. Final offer. You're not supposed to be here. You can join the givers, meaning like the service people, or you can join the takers. But everybody's going to die tonight. Smiley face.
Yeah, she goes, then can I leave? And he's like, no, everyone will die.
No. You're super going to die. But who do you want to die with?
And in what way? Yeah, it's very weird. And it's like, what's the point? What's the fucking point? Because
I don't know.
Everyone dies the same way. We figure it out at the end. Everyone dies the same way. Why does it matter?
Why does it matter? It doesn't.
This whole thing, and it goes on for way too long. It's like, what do you choose? What do you choose? Let me set an egg timer to help you figure out what you choose. Who are you? I think you're a service worker. I think you're a taker. It's like, who fucking cares?
No one fucking cares. Why aren't you focused on your menu that you're doing? You know what I mean? Like,
this huge elaborate
thing. Yeah, that you seem very excited about.
Ugh.
What does it matter? All right, it's fine. Anyway, she goes back to the table. Tyler goes like full Augustus Gloop and is like jealous that she got to like hang out with Chef. The frat babies are trying to riot. They try to throw a chair out the window. Obviously, that doesn't
Jaime
work.
Jaime tries to throw a chair. Yeah.
Jaime, yeah. And now it's time for tea time. So it's the next course. This is tea time / meet your villain, as I like to call it. So I can't. So uncreative. So they just have Chef come out and be like, any questions?
Why?
I don't know. Like, clearly they don't know what's going on. And like, I want to think it's like a cat and mouse thing, but it doesn't feel like that.
It's not even that. I know. Because
the mice aren't micing. Like, you're just like withholding information for dramatic reasons for just yourself, which is kind of theater kid of you. I will say this is another joke that I did like, which is the he asked if there are any questions. And Tyler's like, oh, is this bergamot, Chef? That I like.
He's great. Yeah.
I like Tyler and I like the maitre d' and nobody else.
Yeah.
This is where the chef calls every single group out. He's like, all right, this is like why you guys are all here. And I have them written down, but honestly, it just doesn't make a ton of sense to
me.
We
don't care.
I'm so it's like this guy cheated on his wife and he's rich and he comes here. He's come here 11 times and he can't name a single meal that he's had here. I'm like, why do you're being a baby about it, honestly. Like,
he's like, name one course last time you were here. And the wife goes, the cod. And he goes, that was spotted halibut, you dumb bitch.
Yeah.
And she's like, why does it fucking matter? And he's like, it matters to the halibut.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? Who cares?
And the idea that like people can't enjoy themselves or like aren't appreciating a chef if they don't understand it. To their level.
Well, that's the thing too. It's like his whole thing is like, I want people to have pleasure in food and not be there for the intellectual side of things. And it's like, you just got mad at her for thinking halibut was caught.
Yeah, it's hypocritical.
What are you doing?
What is the purpose of this? Because you're telling me two very different, explicitly different things.
You're telling me so many different things. This guy's a fucking psycho.
So we have him. There's the, what are the other ones? Just the trust fund kids. Who were they? They were like,
no, yeah, the angel investor named Varick, and they work for him, but they've also been like defrauding the company or something.
Yeah. But Varick hasn't, by all intents and purposes, right? Like the beef that Chef has with like the frat boys that he's calling out, the trust fund babies, whatever, is like their tortillas are like bank receipts and evidence of offshore accounts and shit like that. But whenever he's getting angry about the angel investor himself, his reasons were like so benign. It's like
he told me to change this ingredient.
I'm dead. Yes.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, so again, if you want to be the insane psychopath, egotistical, creative chef, do that. But
do that.
That's not what the end of the movie is.
Right.
That's not what your menu is about.
Yep. I agree.
So what is it?
But it is Varick. Varick is also doing these things. Cause at one point,
is he doing it too?
Yeah, because like at one point the stupid bros are like, well, if we go down, Varick's going down too. Like,
just doesn't seem bad enough. You know what I mean? I'm like,
it's just
you're not suffering. You have an entire fucking island. Like, I don't know. Like, just what do you care? Like, what do you care? You just told me about your mother getting strangled to death with a telephone cord, but you're mad that they're skimming something off the top. You're mad that the bad guys are being bad.
Clearly, you know that there's worse than what you have.
Could be worse. You have a whole cult, for God's sake, being greedy. God. I do like the next scene, which is the fallen angel investor. So this is a scene where there's like a giant crane outside that they can see out the window, a spotlight, and the investor is like duct tape mouth, I think. No, or is he screaming? Doesn't matter.
He's screaming.
Because it goes silent. And he has angel wings on, and he's just like slowly getting dipped into the lake. It's kind of nice. We kind of like it. But it has nothing really to do with anything. Just Chef being dramatic because he can't get away from drama.
Bro, why? What is the why?
At least I'm looking at something other than this one room. It's such a boring room. All right, back to Margot. That guy's dead. He's like, okay, no, for real now. Like, Margot, like, you have to choose. And I'm like, why are you trying so hard to get her
That's
out?
That's what I mean. Like, it makes no fucking sense.
Why are you trying so hard? So then he chooses for her. He calls himself as that he belongs to the shit shovelers. I'm like,
you're a high class chef, sir.
Thank you. I'm like, shit shoveler? Bro, go work at fucking McDonald's, all right? And yeah. Then you can complain, all right? Go work a midnight shift at McDonald's with drunk people demanding a McFlurry for $8 an hour.
He loved that. He used to do that, Kate, and he loved it.
Oh my God. That was when he was had the most joy. And I'm like, okay, so you like being a shit? I don't understand.
Then
you
do can't it. Take
yeah, then do it. No then one's making do you do this.
Oh my Bro, God. You're the one who sold out.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, bitch, you have nobody to blame but yourself. All right.
Yeah.
You can walk away from this, but you won't because you want to be a little theater kid.
Yep.
Because you're grumpy at all these people for all completely different reasons. Cool. Ugh. So this is when he's like, oh, I can recognize a fellow service worker. And we're like, okay, we have confirmation. Margo's an escort. Her real name's Aaron. They have some like weird sort of class bonding empathy moment, I guess.
Sure.
That's it. So yeah, she's with the shit shovelers. You know, the Michelin star chef, the shit shoveler. So
yeah, I don't know if a Michelin star chef
I don't
can
know about that.
Really say that he's in the same class as a escort. I don't know. Maybe.
It's like whenever you had a rich friend and they try to say something that's like they grew up not rich and you're like, bitch, you were rich. And they're like, oh, I was middle class.
We only had one summer home.
Just because we had a pool, okay? Doesn't mean, I'm like, shut up. All right, outdoor time. It's time for the next course, which is man's folly. We get a new monologue. It's a vagina monologue.
Audible groan. Here comes vagina monologue.
A brief vagina monologue where one of the female sous chefs details explicitly how a head chef was creepy to her and like making advances, unwanted advances all the time towards her. I think that's mostly what it was, right?
Yeah, it was like, yeah, he basically like asked her out repeatedly. And then when she said no, he just like didn't make eye contact with her for a few months. The end.
I'm like, you guys are playing it so safe. Like, they don't want to make him a villain because they want you to be empathetic to him in the end.
So what's the point of the scene?
So he's neither. Right. Okay. So then we were like, all right, bye, boys. 45 second head start before we hunt you.
Wait, you miss it. She stabs him.
Yeah. I forgot. She stabs him in the leg.
She meaning the sous chef who he sexually harassed or whatever the fuck,
right?
Stabs Voldemort in the thigh. And the rest of the movie, he has a full thigh penetrating wound and you never notice it.
No, it's not important later.
He's walking normally later.
I forgot about it.
Yeah.
I completely forgot he got stabbed in the leg.
So did he.
So did everyone. All right, cool. Well, the girls get to have a girly time in the restaurant because the boys go outside. They get a 45-second head start before they get hunted by the staff. It's weird. So this is when what's the rich lady's like, yo, Margo, I mean, Aaron, you know my husband. And at this point, I'm like, that's the least of our fucking concerns.
Yeah, it's like, who fucking cares, bitch?
Your husband's
about to die.
Hunted out there.
He also doesn't have a finger anymore.
Yeah. Bigger fish, girls. Bigger fish. But we do eventually pass the Bechdel test, and it's great. We're so glad when it finally happens. All right. So all the men get snatched. This part I thought was kind of cute, where it's like the last man to get caught gets like a special little treat.
He gets a little egg.
And it's the critic's friend, and he's just like hunched down in like a hen hut, little hutch.
Yeah.
And then a hand just comes in and is like, a special treat for the last guest. I like
the
that.
The last guest to be caught. It's like a little golden egg.
Well done.
And he like looks at it and like shrugs and then takes it.
He takes it.
He's like, fuck. All right.
All right. Thanks. So this is the point of the movie where Chef is going to like openly call out Tyler in front of everyone. This is Tyler's public humiliation happy hour.
Yeah.
Because Tyler's still having the best time. And I honestly think that bothers Chef. he's He's Reuben. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, there's so many things about this movie that piss me off. I just don't understand how Tyler plays into anything. I don't understand.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense for his character. But whatever. God, so apparently damn. Tyler, as Chef exposes, knew the whole time that at the end, everyone's going to die. Like, he knows what the menu is.
And that he invited Margot because they wouldn't serve him as, like, one person. Like, he needed a date. And so he hired an escort, knowing that she would die so that he could have a nice meal and he could experience this meal.
Uh-huh. And still the whole time he's, like, chastising her for smoking is going to ruin her palate. And, like, he's just getting worse by the second. But don't worry, he's going to get his because Chef awkwardly, like, forces him to make food.
Yeah.
And Tyler clearly doesn't know how to make food, even though he has a Paco jet or whatever. And so he doesn't even try to make anything, though, is the thing. Like, he just starts throwing, it looks like a toddler, like, with plastic food. Like, you just kind of throw the ice cream.
Just throwing things in a pan.
The egg, the broccoli, the whole chicken drumstick. Shake it up. That's what he did. And the whole thing, like, Chef's just, like, yelling at him the whole time, bear style. And it's just embarrassing. Like, he didn't even try to do anything. It was embarrassing. Like, a good scrambled egg. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whatever. Well, then, because they don't know how to wrap up Tyler's storyline, Chef whispers in Tyler's ear. And then Tyler, like, sheds a single tear and, like, exits stage left.
It's so weird.
Side note. Anyone worried about drunk mom? Forgot about her, didn't you?
She's passed the fuck out.
Yeah, she's still drinking wine in the corner, just in case anyone was curious.
Still hasn't said anything.
Hasn't said a word, and she won't.
Mm.
Okay, so now Chef, I think, is it Chef? It's like, okay, Margot, you need to go get something from the smokehouse or whatever, because we need it for the next course, which is dessert. And that's where she walks by. It's just so random and stupid. I'm sorry. She discovers Tyler's body. He's hanged himself. That's it. All right. And so then she goes to she's heading to the smokehouse.
I'm just so angry.
Meaningless. It's fine.
Yeah.
So she's like, okay, it sucks to suck. Heads to the smokehouse. But on the way, she's like, I'm going to sneak in his little mini mansion. But she gets in a scuffle with, is it the maitre d', I think?
I think they technically call her, like, the sous chef. But, yeah, I mean, it's the girl who's been, like, hilarious the whole time. It's the girl who's, like, tortillas.
Tortillas. Oh, is she a chef? I thought she was, like, the maitre d'. Oh.
I think she's a sous chef. And I think everyone else is technically the cooks, quote unquote.
Oh, okay. That's what they call them. Right.
Yeah.
She dies.
So they have, for absolutely no reason, this sous chef / maitre d' whatever lady is, like, jealous of Anya Taylor-Joy's character for literally no reason. Also, it goes nowhere. The storyline lasts less than 10 seconds.
You didn't even know that there was jealousy ahead of time.
I didn't
pick
know
up
there
on
was
that
jealousy. It feels like, oh my God, it just feels like such bullshit. But anyway, she, like, comes in and they have, like, a literal knife fight for no reason. Absolutely none. And Anya Taylor-Joy wins. And basically the only real reason is so that Anya Taylor-Joy can go from having an updo to having her hair down.
That's exactly what it is. They got to have their, like, ready or not moment or whatever. Yeah. Yep. She's tough girl mode.
Yeah. So now her hair's down and she's pushing a barrel, and she pushes the barrel into the kitchen and she retrieved the barrel that he asked her to retrieve.
Yes, Chef.
The end.
That's the end of the whole movie. Hope you liked it. It could have been, but we're not there yet. So she finds a radio, I think. And so she's, like, trying to call out for help before she returns the barrel.
She's in his mansion, and she's looking, and she sees his life. She sees him as a fry cook living his best life with a happy smile. She's like, oh, he used to love serving people good, unpretentious food like cheeseburgers.
Oh, my God.
now I see a radio. Oh my God, I'm going to call the Coast Guard. So she calls the fucking Coast Guard.
She calls the Coast Guard. But we have this really, really stupid moment that I still am trying to unpack where the Coast Guard shows up and Shep is like, everyone play cool.
Play and cool, even though this old man is missing a finger. He has a bloody hand. He has bruises and blood on his face.
It doesn't matter, though, because the Coast Guard, Scooby-Doo style, is revealed to be one of the line cooks.
Yes.
Just and he has a gun, for the drama.
And he is holding up everyone, and everyone's like, oh my God, we're saved. And then he uses his little toy gun to light a candle.
It's so corny. I'm
so glad we're on the same page, Kate, because I was about to get real mad.
We're both mad.
I was about to be like, oh, I'm going to have to yell about this movie this whole time and be unsupportive.
I was worried that you were going to have liked it. I didn't think you would because I know you, but I was like, what if she does? It has Anya Taylor-Joy in it.
Just wait till I go on a rampage in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, I'm letting her loose at the end, you guys. I've been saying my piece, but I'm fully opening the gate at the end of this for Ariana. I can't wait. Let's go ahead and just get there, shall we? Because this is pretty much the end of the movie. This movie is dragging on so horrifically at this point. Okay, so I've had really good notes so far, right? Really good.
Uh-oh.
This is the last page. It says, the stupid cheeseburger.
The stupidest. It's so dumb. It's so dumb.
So let's talk about the stupid cheeseburger. So Margot, during all of this, because she's the cool girl, she's like, hey, I hate your food.
Wait, she claps first. Oh my God, the corniest fucking shit I've ever seen. There's the corn. Corn horror.
Corn horror. She's like, I haven't had a monologue yet.
I'm still hungry. I'm hungry. I'm starved.
Hungry. And the chef, I don't understand, is like, well, what do you want? And she's like, a cheeseburger.
Oh my God.
So his chef goes and like makes a really yummy looking cheeseburger.
Sure.
A very unspecial, sure it's good cheeseburger. And like delivers it to her very slowly. She takes a bite of it and is like, cheeseburger. She like smokes her cigarette, you know, flips her hair. Finally, me food.
Girl dinner.
Girl dinner, guys. She's like, okay, well, can I get the rest of it to go? It's like, oh, she found a loophole. She broke into his house and broke into his heart and found a cheeseburger loophole where she asked for it to go. And he's like, okay. And she leaves.
He gives it to her in a doggy bag that he had in this restaurant.
He would never.
I'm so confused. Oh my God.
Also, this whole time, they keep drilling no substitutions, like no substitutions. But because she's Margot and I don't know, she gets a stupid cheeseburger. So now Margot's like, she grabs a Coast Guard boat and she takes off. And this is where we get the s'mores of it all.
Bro, if you're not infuriated by the movie at this point, this will destroy everything.
I want you to tell it. The s'mores.
There's graham cracker crumbs being trailed to people. There's liquid marshmallow being created into this like beautiful art scene on the floor. The people are being dressed in these clothes made of marshmallows and they have a hat that's made of chocolate. And the guy's thing is like, s'mores are gross, but then when they're put through the fire, they become something
purified,
pure and delicious. And
they also, he makes like a comment. He's like, this is like the a people's food and like not something you see at a restaurant like this. Yeah. And I'm like, actually, no place other than fancy restaurants is offering full fucking s'mores. Like,
you're right.
Those are the fancy restaurants.
You're right.
That bring out the s'mores shit. I've never been there. Those are what you see in movies. Those are who I couldn't afford to hire for my wedding. That's like the fancy shit. So,
deconstructed s'mores. It's like, okay.
It's not. Okay. Also, anything deconstructed just means you're tossing ingredients on the plate. There, I said it.
That's true. It's like a burrito bowl.
Yeah.
Insanity. And then he grabs a coal from his brick oven or some shit and holds it barehandedly, walks dramatically, slowly to the center and throws it down on this, like, I don't know, gunpowder or some shit. And like the whole thing fucking explodes. And there's a scene where the chocolate hats are melting, dripping into the guests' eyes, and they're crying and they've accepted their fate because they're rich and they deserve to die.
Yeah.
And
but we're not done.
Do you want to tell the ending?
Yeah, I do. I do, actually. The final scene, Margot's on the boat. She's looking out. She sees the island explode in an inferno. Emotionlessly, she takes another bite of her cheeseburger. And she wipes her mouth with a copy of The Menu. Name of the movie. Get it? Do you get it?
Get it?
Get it? She's cool.
Did you get it, guys? Oh my God. Can we all die now? Can we all die?
We're done. And again, I sincerely apologize. You know, I know if you like this movie, you haven't stuck with us. And if you did, I'm so sorry. It is just not good. But I'm glad that you liked it, honestly. I like tons of movies that aren't good, you know? It's okay.
That's true. I was going to say, like, we usually go with our gut on things. So, like, this movie just as a gut feeling, you know, we support you.
Good for you. But, like, don't try to tell me it's
but
good.
It's objectively bad. No, I'm just kidding.
But it's bad. So, I was worried because of the sheer number of positive reviews. Like, this movie was so well received by people. I felt insane. So, thank you for that, Ariana.
Yeah, like I have movies like that too, where I'm like, this movie sucks, like Malignant. I felt like I was being fucking gaslit the whole time.
I was like,
I'm so confused. Am I watching the same fucking movie as everyone else?
Everyone who's gushing about it. Yes. Oh my God.
I'm so confused. No, but I'm glad we're on the same page.
Speaking of Malignant, that's at the very fucking bottom of our scoreboard.
I know. Can't wait to see where this one's going to be.
It's the only thing that's lower than Malignant on our scoreboard of right now 121 movies is Krampus.
Krampus.
Ariana, get him.
Here's a summary of everything we hate. No, I'm just kidding. first, let's start with, you know, me and Kate like this movie for the acting, probably, right, Kate? You like the acting? You like the actors?
I like
the chemistry?
I liked
We have to
Tyler.
Say something we like about it. We have to
I
say
like
something
Tyler.
We like about it.
I like the maitre d'.
Tyler's character? Tyler's acting? What do you like
about
Both. Tyler?
Everything about him is great. Is this bergamot chef? Hilarious. Like, I feel like Tyler
the zingers,
got understood the script, and I was just so disappointed that they gave him that ridiculous ending. Sorry, we're saying things we like.
Yes. You're like, I like this, but I didn't like it.
The island was really pretty to look at.
The island was beautiful.
But then they keep us in this room where we don't get to see it. So
let's talk about interpretations, because this movie is supposed to be very much up to interpretation. Me and Kate have talked about it a little bit, but let's talk about the most obvious interpretation, the heavy handed messaging. The eat the rich theme that I'm sick of. This shit. I feel like it's constant with these fucking movies. Yes. Okay. So the chef is punishing these guests because they have each in their own way perpetuated the fine dining industry's pretentiousness and elitism, which have, destroyed his joy for cooking throughout his career. Sure. Okay.
No one told you to do this.
100%. So his whole thing is like wealth has challenged and pushed the industry forward, but has also widened the gap for social classes by reducing access to the unique tasting experiences. Okay. Sure. But then
bitches just want rice, actually. Like, they're starving to death. Nobody's actually like, man,
sticky rice.
Why don't I get some fucking ocean mushrooms? And I don't, you know what I mean? That's not what the poor people are thinking.
Give me
out ocean of touch.
Mushrooms. They're like, give me rice. And the rich people are like, give me sticky rice. You know what I'm saying?
Sticky. Yeah. Can we get a little box for my sticky rice? Thank you.
Just a cheeseburger. It's like, fucking die.
I know. Oh, God. My God. When I literally, this is a true story. When she said that the first time, when she asked for a cheeseburger, I rolled my eyes so hard they got stuck up there.
Did you give yourself a headache? Did you roll your eyes
so
hard?
I had to like smack my head like a cartoon and pop them back. It was like a full Beetlejuice moment. That's how hard I rolled my eyes at the cheeseburger.
Dude, same. Ugh. Okay. So let's say we like this theme. Let's say we're here for it. Let's say this sits well with us.
Let's.
But suddenly, this message takes a turn from being about the joy of the art to an all-out class warfare. Like, the scene where he asked the actor's assistant what school she went to, and she's like, Brown. And he's
Brown.
Like, any student loans? And she's like, no. And he's like, you're dying.
I thought they were trying to reach for a cheap joke that wasn't funny.
I agree.
And that also, like, yeah, fuck her for getting an education. And also, that's not the point of any of the stuff that you're doing. Like, so she's correct.
That's what I mean.
Like, if you're punishing people for these reasons, that's not one of the reasons.
Bro, that's how I feel about it too. I'm like, okay, so this is your whole deep meaning. This is how you're justifying all of these actions. Like, these people, they all did something to you. And then there's this Latina woman who went to Brown like a badass motherfucker.
Also, she's an assistant.
And is trying to make a life for herself.
She's not like these other people.
And she's standing up for herself to her boss. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you don't have student loans? You're fucking dying. And it's like, cool, sweet, fuck you. Anyway.
Yeah, fuck you.
So let's pretend that, okay, and I feel like me and Kate agree on this. There's probably a slightly more palatable interpretation. This one I slightly like more, and it's the fact that this chef's resentment for the elitism has just put him into complete nonsense. Like,
yeah.
He has completely lost interest in his art, but he's also had this completely irrational hostage-taking death cult leader murderer thing that he's trying to justify.
Cult leader, yes.
It's insane. Like, the blame.
Like, he has isolated himself.
Yeah.
And all it's done is, like, made him, like, hyper-focus this, like, this resentment, like you said. And then he's feeding it to his crew. And then they agree with him because he's the chef. And so it's just, like, brainwashing.
It's also this, like, hypocritical.
Oh, extremely.
Totally hypocritical. Like, retroactive justification, where it's like, this is what I'm doing and this is why I'm doing it. Not like, this is how I feel and this is what I'm going to do. It's just like,
yes,
let me make up some shit as a retroactive situation. And it's like, bro, you sold out. You didn't have to do this. You could have been a fucking fry cook. You could have done what you love. But you've created this world now for yourself and you're blaming other people.
You bullied a guy into shooting himself in the head. But she went to Brown.
Without loans. Her parents probably worked really hard and saved money for her to go to college.
Heard of a scholarship, bro?
Yeah. Heard of a work study program?
Working and paying off your loans?
Yep. True
which
story.
Is what she's doing?
The worst. So.
The worst.
At its best, the message of this movie is unrelatable. This movie of like, oh, the elite, they're creating a world where middle class people can't enjoy food anymore. It's like unrelatable. It's like that message is not, I don't give a fuck. That's the best interpretation of this movie.
I have never gone to bed like, someone out there is eating Kobe beef and I'm not, you know, like.
Who's asking for this?
It's like almost so out of touch. I'm like, bitch, people are starving like in our country, like. No.
Yes, I agree.
No one cares.
We don't give a fuck.
No one
the
cares.
People who you're wronging in this situation don't give a fuck. I promise.
They don't give a fuck.
Nope. So that's its best interpretation. At its worst interpretation, this message is obvious. It's half-baked. It's not thorough enough for people like me and Kate who are trying to go way too deep and overanalyze the shit out of it. But we're being super meta right now because we're like judging and criticizing a movie as an art form And it's kind of like we're Nicholas Holt's character, right? Where we're like sitting in the audience like, this is great. This is terrible. And it's like, exactly. Could we do any better? Probably not. But isn't the whole reason that art exists not only for the expression of the artists, but also to inspire a feeling in those perceiving it? So why is it a sin to have an opinion about art? That's what I do not understand about Nicholas Holt's character. I'm like, he's appreciating your art. Like, what else could you want him for?
That's what I was saying. I was like, he's doing like he you can appreciate the art of cooking and never cook. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's you appreciating someone's talent.
You can be
that
a fangirl of a chef and not know how to cook like the chef. Like, why does it need to be?
I fucking love figure skating. Can I figure skate? No. But I'm still, I know who did a triple axel and when they were and were not legal. You know what I mean? Am I a phony?
But it's also like, you're not the critic who's like, they didn't do this well enough. You know, you're just like fangirl and like, this is great. And so is Nicholas Holt's character.
He's just snaps for, he's down to literally die at the end. Like, I don't know how much more buy-in you could ask for. And he's right. He's like, it was bergamot in the tea. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, he's trying to learn. It's fun for him. It's a hobby. It just doesn't make sense to me why that's displayed as a negative trait. And that's like, I feel like if he didn't exist as a character, this movie would have been significantly more cohesive for me, or at least the message of this movie, I guess, but still would have been boring. But anyway, I think the core of this movie is about the difficulty that artists face when they have to maintain their artistic integrity while continuing to create art for themselves and not just for their audience. I guess if that's like what this was, it's like it could drive you insane. And that's what I think happened to this guy, is like he was trying to please everyone so much that he forgot what made him an artist in the first place. But it's also like, now you're going to murder everyone? That's so stupid. But
that's so dumb.
The themes are unrelatable, obvious, half-baked, and critical of everyone involved in the art experience, which is horrible. What a horrible message.
That's literally what I thought too. I was like, this is not a good theme. If I have deduced what I think that they're trying to tell me.
Yeah.
And I was fully ready for this to be like a Eat the Rich movie where like Margot takes up their offer and like fully turns on them and is like, yeah, you know what? The service industry gets treated like shit. That guy was going to kill her. You know what I mean? He got her killed. She could have gone full female rage.
100%.
And joined the chef team. You know what I mean? And she didn't join any team. She just like stayed on the fence.
Ate a cheeseburger. Demanded a fucking cheeseburger.
She fucking ate a cheeseburger.
Doesn't make any sense.
Manic pixie scream queen.
I could turn this movie off at any time and not give a fuck about how it ended. I saw this movie once and I would have never watched it again. I think the horror premise of an evil chef was not asked for and not needed in the horror community. I feel like this is another movie where Hollywood is sucking its own dick.
Yes. Oh, my God. What, $30 million budget, for fuck's sake. Like,
I'm just so tired.
I'm surprised Gal Gadot wasn't one of the chefs. You know what I mean? It's like, what the? Sure, why not?
I'm just tired of Hollywood making these movies that are only relatable within their own community. It's like, oh, it's so hard to be an actress. Oh, it's so hard to be an actor. Oh, it's the art experience. It's like, can you? Like, I understand making movies about things that you understand, but it's like, I can't relate to that. I don't know.
No, of course not. Ugh. No, I could not agree with you more. I couldn't agree with you more.
Well, anyway, I'm glad we're on the same page, Kate. I'm glad that every single thing you felt in this movie, I also felt, and we're exactly on the same page.
I feel so justified. Oh my God, I feel so justified. And again, whenever I was like, I don't remember anything about this movie. Like whenever I first watched it or whatever, I was like, I don't remember it. But I remember really having a problem with it. Yep. And as I was watching it, I was like, Oh, yeah. Yeah. All of those things. Corny. Sorry.
Bored. Corny. It didn't go anywhere. none of the messages were good messages or thorough messages or anything I gave a shit about.
Wow, we have dragged this. We dragged this movie almost as long as it dragged me. So almost a full hour and 47 minutes.
Kate, what are you going to rate this? I'm so curious.
0 out of 10 foam rocks.
Zero?
Zero. I really, really didn't like it.
Oh, shit. Is this your first zero? Wait, no, I feel like you've given other things.
I've never given. I think Krampus, I think I gave like a negative 1,000 or something like that. But this is really? A straight zero.
Oh, fuck.
This is a straight egg.
It's goose egg.
No points to Gryffindor. None. Holy fuck.
Wait, what was your item?
Rock foams. But I'm going to change it to ocean mushrooms.
Ocean mushrooms? Yes. Well, I mean, I hated this movie, but I do think that the acting and the direction was good. So I'm going to split it down the middle and give it 5 out of 10 lavender slip dresses and combat boot outfits.
Oh, God. And that was one of the only things that I thought I remembered liking. And then you took that away from me. Right.
This
it really is
movie,
bad if you look at it.
Her outfit is a perfect symbol for this movie. It's like there were good intentions. It did not deliver. It was artsy and unique, but didn't do what it was meant to do. It didn't translate well. So
it didn't do much for her character,
it was
honestly.
Horrible.
Horrible. Horrible.
Absolutely not. Well, I'm excited to see where we're going with this.
Okay. All right, so boys and girls and everything in between, head on over to the Ariana's sexy website that she maintains for us. It's so hot. Nightlighthorrormovieclub.com. And then head on over to the scoreboard. And remember, it's ugly, it's offensive, and I'm sorry. We're sorry. We're sorry. Now, shall we just scroll on down?
I'm at the bottom currently. I'm trying to decide if I think I liked Malignant more than I like this movie.
Me too.
I haven't seen Krampus, to be honest with you.
I think Krampus was at least more stuff was happening in
Krampus. Really?
There was a singular storyline, which is Krampus is going to kill you. You know what I mean?
Sure. Wait, are we going to put this at the literal last one? Yes.
Yeah. Drop that shit to the bottom.
New number 122.
Drop that shit down there. Number 122, baby.
Everyone's going to be so mad. I love it.
I don't care. I'm sorry. I love you guys. And I mean it. And I loved, honestly, this brought me and Ariana closer together.
It really did. I'm so happy we agree with each other because
I'm so happy.
So worried I was going to have to defend my opinion.
No, way ahead of you. I did audibly groan whenever.
You did audibly groan. I knew you weren't going to like it, but I didn't know why. So I'm glad it's for all the same reasons as me. Thanks, it's so easy.
All of the reasons. All right. Well, guys, if you're not horrifically offended by today's episode, and again, we are very sorry, but we are also correct. If you're not horrifically offended, please go over to Apple Podcasts, give us a rating, give us a review, give us some stars on Spotify. It really does help people find us. And then maybe they can also recommend movies that we can tear apart. So yeah, thanks for sending your recommendations, and we'll be better next time, I promise. We'll be nice.
Oh, yeah. I think next time it's looking like it's going to be 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Is it the mommy poll?
Yes, mommy poll. It looks like 10 Cloverfield Lane might be in a couple weeks, so buckle the fuck up.
Oh, my
up.
God. Okay, so this is the poll for I got to pick 5 movies that I've been dying to talk about, and it's 10 Cloverfield Lane, which I did cover once, but Ariana wasn't there. What are the other ones on there?
I'm trying to think like what is second. Let's see. I don't remember off the top of my head.
Have you seen 10 Cloverfield Lane?
I have. I've seen it multiple times. I also heard your review of it on Horror Movie Talk.
Damn it.
Yeah, so I know how you feel about it. Let's see. What's second right now? Color Out of Space, which I will say is what I voted for.
Oh my God. Color Out of Space. Okay, yeah. We'll see. We'll see. Yeah. Time will tell.
We'll see.
Well, I have to go recover from
me too.
The monologues of it all. I should have given it 0 to 10 monologues. Damn it.
Ooh.
Broken emulsions. Yeah. All right.
I really like ocean mushrooms the best. It's good stuff.
Oh, man. Oh, she's doing great. She's great. All right. The word was scallop, just as a reminder.
Scallops.
Not a mushroom. Scallop. All right. Well, until next time, you guys, stay spoopy.
Stay spoopy.